Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Audio bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by AOL Music and Spinner.com, where you can get free MP3s, exclusive interviews, and more. Video bandwidth for TWiT is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 251, recorded June 6th, 2010. Flop Sweat. This Week in Tech is brought to you by GoToMeeting. Face-to-face meetings are sometimes important, but they can be a hassle and a waste of money. Do more, travel less with GoToMeeting. For your free 30-day trial, visit gotomeeting.com/twit. And by audible.com. To download two free audiobooks of your choice, go to audible.com/twit2. And don't forget to follow Audible on Twitter at audible_com. And by Carbonite, the leader in online backup. Back up your PC or Mac off-site, securely, and automatically. For a free trial offer, plus 2 free months with purchase, go to carbonite.com, offer code TWIT. It's time for TWiT, This Week in Tech, the show that covers all the latest tech news, and kind of a young panel today, making me look hip with it. Actually, could go either way. It could make me look really old and out of it. Starting with Mark Millian from the Los Angeles Times. Always glad to have Mark on the show. And you're in town today. That's nice.
Always great to be here, especially in studio.
I asked if you were here for WWDC, but you haven't decided whether to go or not?
Well, I ran into Gabe from Tech Meme and Alexia from SF Weekly earlier, and our plan is to just sneak in. Because I didn't plan in advance.
Sure. And because Apple has so little security, shouldn't be any trouble.
I think we'll do Mission Impossible style from the rafters.
Are you going to have rubber masks?
Maybe.
I love that.
That's a good idea.
I love that when they peel off the masks and look, it's not. It's Martin Landau. We thought it was Mark Millian, but it's Martin Landau. Also here with us. Glad to have you back. In fact, the last time I saw you, Julio Ojeda Zapata, was at in January at the iPad announcement.
Yeah, correct.
You came back out to the...
It was the first time you and I shook hands.
That's right. It's very nice to meet
IRL.
You.
IRL.
In real life, as they say. First time on the show in real life, as a matter of fact.
And I'm the other fart on the show, so you don't
Yeah, that's true. You got a little gray hair there. From the St. Paul Pioneer Press and the weblog, yourtechweblog.com. Good to have you, Julio. You are out here for WWDC.
Definitely.
You would admit that. All right. Good to know. Also with us for the first time, very glad to get him on. I've been dying to get him on for a long time, from Engadget. He's the editor-in-chief. He's also the host of Engadget's Great Gadget podcast. Joshua Tobolsky. It's good to have you, Joshua.
Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
You like Josh or Joshua?
You know, whatever you prefer is fine with me. They both work. I respond to both.
You know, good to have you.
Ladies' choice.
You're in a hotel. Where are you?
I am in San Francisco. I'm a few blocks from Moscone. Do you want my exact location?
Yeah. Well, no, I already have that on Foursquare. It's okay.
Yeah.
No, I'm just, so you're based in New York?
Yeah, I'm in Brooklyn. Well, I live in Brooklyn. I usually work from office at home, but we have AOL's offices in the city.
And you have the beautiful offices on the Lincoln Circle. That's a really nice spot there.
We've moved now, though. They're all downtown.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What about that beautiful building they built there with the thing and the hung and the ding? That's
I think they lost it in the divorce.
You're kidding. So that's now Time Warner's?
Yeah, I don't think they use that anymore.
Columbus Circle, not Lincoln's. Columbus Circle. But that's a beautiful building. They just built that. Huh.
I think I haven't been there since my initial interview about working at Engadget.
So. Well, never mind. Downtown's better anyway. It's hipper.
It's cooler.
Yeah, it's much more with it. So you're in town, I take it, for WWDC as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're going to be covering it live. So
live not blogging.
Live as possible.
Yeah, well, you won't make the mistake I made, and I've never been invited back. I just picked up my laptop at the iPad announcement and pointed it at Steve.
I heard about this.
Yeah, he gave me the stink eye, too. I could tell he could see me.
He knew. It. He probably has a button, right? Like a kind of a.
I was surprised that there wasn't an ejector seat, actually. I was surprised I didn't go flying through the ceiling. But I do notice that I haven't been invited to an Apple event since. But, of course, it's only been a few months.
Yeah.
Time heals all wounds.
There you go.
Oh, shut up. I was trying to be on the optimistic side. Well,
are you going tomorrow?
Well, like I said, I haven't actually been invited to any Apple event in a while.
That might not bode well for your...
I don't care.
Send them flowers.
Yeah.
You didn't know.
Steve and I, we've had this off and on love-hate relationship for many decades. It's okay. He knows I love him deeply in spirit. Do you think, gentlemen of the press, I've got some theories about what will happen at WWDC, but I'm curious what you think. I guess we all agree a new iPhone will be announced.
Oh, yes.
Maybe.
Did you say maybe?
Never know.
You don't know, do you?
I'm being sarcastic. If there's not a new iPhone tomorrow, something has gone horribly wrong.
Well, it's true that there's such expectation when Steve takes the stage that if he just says, I'm going to talk about iPhone 4, the SDK, your developers, let's talk a little bit about some of the features, the API, some of the hooks we're building in for you developers, and then leaves, that he would be eaten alive by the press, right? What are you can't do that?
It'd be very odd. I mean, at this point, I think we expect it. This is what happens at WWDC. They're going to talk about a lot of other stuff.
Well, here's a real question. Julio, do you think that the iPhone will be available tomorrow? They'll announce it. Will it be available?
Well, I suspect they'll announce it and then release it in a week or two.
A week or two?
Yeah.
Joshua, what's the line on that?
I think we've heard that's very possible. We've heard June 20th or 27th, some dates around there.
They have booked, apparently, on the 27th, they've booked Moscone again. That's odd. It might be. It's simply that they weren't sure when WWDC would be, and they were covering their bets.
Yeah.
Because they didn't announce WWDC till kind of
late. Yeah. But
well,
I agree with Julio. I think that it's going to be not the day of. I just don't see them doing that.
Why not?
Well, I mean, I think they like to build a little hype. They want people to wait in line. And if you do it the day of, people just run into stores.
But they had the hype built for them by tech blogs, by Gizmodo.
People just run in the stores and buy it. How horrible is that? I mean, golly.
What's better? They run in the stores or they wait and then they have to get in line and then the news covers these crazy lines.
Wait too long because I think there's things like this Sprint Evo that could very well eat some of their sales if they wait too long, don't you think?
I think it's already happening, right?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people I've gotten emails from people saying, should I get this? I got to get this. I can't help myself. So the Evo, I mean.
I love the Evo. I am loving it.
Great.
Can I tell you about the Evo?
Yes, please, Julio. Tell me about the Evo.
Okay, I brought the Evo on this trip. I did a couple of wacky things. I didn't bring a laptop. I only brought iPads for productivity.
I noticed that. You're going to do the whole... Wait a minute. Now, folks, he's got two. What's the deal with two iPads?
Well, I'm a deeply paranoid person, and I'm taking a leap here and say, okay, iPad, I'm trusting you, but I'm bringing two.
And I'm only trusting you a little bit. Two, just in case you lose one?
This whole 10 to 11 hour battery life.
You're using one for Twitter, aren't you?
No, this whole 10 to 11 hour battery life. I'm not seeing that. I'm running out of juice. Yeah, so I'm switching between iPads because they keep running out of juice. I don't know if they're defective or something.
If you're running on 3G,
might be it.
And you're multitasking. Somebody said that's the best way to multitask is buy multiple iPads.
Yeah. Well, that's what Waz does. He had two iPhones. I interviewed him, and he said multitasking. Well, I just have two iPhones. So
that's how Steve would like to multitask. Just buy more.
Yeah. But my the Evo, I brought the iPad for productivity. I brought the Evo as my mission critical smartphone.
Ooh, that might have been a mistake.
And
that's
the thing
brand
is
new.
Driving me nuts.
Why? What don't you like?
I don't know if it's a Evo problem or an Android problem, but it's just the performance is really flaky, getting all kinds of error messages.
No, I haven't had that.
A lot of force quits, a lot of pop-ups.
I think you've got a problem. I think you got a bad one.
That might be.
Maybe it's the soft one. What are you running? Maybe it's a particular app or collection.
That's one thing with Android that's really true is that you can hose your Android by running a third-party app that's not very good. I've been very cautious about what apps I install and uninstall apps frequently just to make sure that they're not, if I see battery life issues or that kind of thing. Are you running just the stock
stuff? I'm just doing the stock stuff and it's driving me nuts. But, the other thing, we're talking Android versus Apple, and I just want to make a point. I've used a lot of Android phones. I like Android very much. I'm a big fan of Android. But every time I put down an Android phone and pick up an old iPod Touch that I have lying around, and I start using it, there's a fluidity to the iPhone OS that I have yet to see on any Android phone. There's somebody at Apple that knows something that nobody else knows, because the fluidity, the ease of use of the iPhone OS is amazing. Every time I put down an Android phone that I've been using for many days, pick up that iPod Touch, I still see that difference. That little subtle thing about Apple hardware versus Android is something that Google has not nailed yet.
I hear people say that, and Andy Inako says that, and I abandoned the iPhone in January for the Nexus 1 and have not looked back. I have been very happy, especially now with Android 2.2 on this thing. It's just great. Joshua, you use a lot of phones. Do you have an opinion?
Yeah, I think some people, I mean, I totally know what Julio is saying. I mean, I think some people are really sensitive that I am the fit and finish, the, you know, every.
Are you saying I'm insensitive?
Well, I mean, to maybe just to this one thing, I do find every time I get a new phone, the first thing I do is I take, I get the icon screen up and I start to sort of go back and forth with my finger like this as quickly as possible. Because I want to see how it's tracking, right? How it's, what the finger tracking is like. And if you do it, if you compare Android to an iPhone, I know this sounds completely insane, but you do see there's something in the finger tracking, in the smoothness of the experience. Yeah, that looks fine. But if I showed you side by side, you'd see how much lag it actually had compared to an iPhone. The iPhone tracks to a T.
The iPhone is on a processor that's one third as fast.
Doesn't matter. I know, it doesn't matter. It's about the
people always code. Said that. I have to say, people always said that in the early Macintosh days, and it was true that the mouse on the Macintosh was direct drive, and on Windows it felt like it was like a little laggy.
It felt like it was floating above the actual OS, right? Whereas Mac, it was in the OS. That's the way the iPhone feels to me.
Really?
And I agree. But also, I don't know if it's Sense has made that experience a lot better. What HTC has done.
I like the Sense UI. I think. Yeah. While I miss 2.2, which I think is significantly faster, I do like the stuff that HTC builds in. What about Moto Blur? I haven't played with a Moto Droid. You don't like that, Mark?
I tried the backflip. It's just so superfluous and just totally unnecessary. And Sense 2, I think, is an unnecessary layer that's added on top. I mean, that's a slippery slope where you have Sense built on top, Google wants to roll out an update, and you have to wait for HTC to rebuild
there. Well, and that's what's happened, isn't it? Yeah, because you can't get 2.2 on the Evo yet.
Google's going to fix that problem, and unfortunately for HTC, because they just got Matthias Duarte from.
That's
Palm,
right. They snagged
the
guy,
the mastermind of the WebOS experience.
So he's a UI guy. So you're saying he's going to fix the Apple / Android issue?
I think there's a real possibility that they're looking at Android, and they're saying we need to bring this together. It's actually a really inconsistent UI experience. There are things that work one way here and
it's worse
there.
Than that. I mean, really, Android's biggest problem is that there are so many different handsets, different screen resolutions, and the real bad problem, in my opinion, is, and I speak as somebody who talks to normal consumers, is that you don't have the sense when you buy an Android phone that you're getting. You may buy the Evo today as the best Android phone today, but you really have this scary feeling that next month there will be a better one, and then the month after that there will be a better one, and that keeps people out of the market. And Apple knows this. They say 1 year, and you know exactly when the new iPhone's coming out, and you don't have that sense of, oh, God, tomorrow there's going to be a better phone out.
Not sure I agree with that. For instance, the Droid. I see the Droid popping up in
A lot of people buying droids.
All my kids, school teachers who know squat about technology, they're all packing droids. It's very interesting.
But they have to look at the reviews and say, well, wait a minute, the Incredible's better than the Droid. Oh, wait a minute, the Evo's better than the Incredible. And I think that in the long run hurts a company. I don't think – it doesn't hurt any one carrier or any one cell phone company. It hurts Google as the common
– They have a fragmentation problem. Yes. That's definitely true. But I think, too, you know, on the point about the droids, I think for a long time, Verizon was you know, it was like a man in the desert who needed water. There were no good smartphones on Verizon, really. Your options were like, get a BlackBerry.
Right.
And the Droid was the first real, it was totally competitive with the iPhone.
Right.
Had apps, had a support of a major company behind it, and it was a pretty attractive device. So I think they've been selling a lot of Droids. I think the question is, do people know the difference between the Droid and the Droid Incredible and the Droid Aeris?
Or Droid 2, which is going to come out sometime soon, right?
They
right,
do with these hundreds of commercials Verizon's been pushing.
Well, and that's, but the commercials are all this.
They're all about like Droid.
The same product, right?
Yeah, aren't they all about the Droid?
Right, but now they're saying buy the Droid Incredibles, whereas the original Droid is sort of passé.
Their Droid Incredible commercial is really good. It emphasizes the speed, the performance. I like the commercial.
I think the Incredible is a better phone. It is a better phone, and I think that if all those teachers who bought the Droid are gonna the Motorola Droid are gonna say, "Huh, wait a minute, the Incredible." And then you start to get this backlash where people say, "Well, I'm not gonna buy because the better phone's gonna be here any minute now." Don't you think?
Well, I'm talking a little bit out of my butt here, but
that's all right. That's what we do on this show. You're fitting right in there.
A long time ago, back in the Mac 2CI days or whatever, if I recall correctly, my memory's sometimes a little faulty. Macintosh refreshes did not occur as frequently as computer refreshes occur now. I'm speculating here, but my hunch is this Android juggernaut with all these handsets coming out all the time is going to put pressure on Apple, and who knows, Apple might start releasing phones every 6 months.
No, I don't think so. I think I don't think Apple pays much attention to what the other guys are doing. I think Apple has this vision, Jobs has this vision, and he says, I'm going to do it my way. Screw the other guys. That's one. Two, I think he realizes that putting out too many updates too fast is bad. In fact, notice Google has already said, we're going to back off. We're not going to put out Android software updates. We're going to do yearly from now on. I think it's vice versa, isn't it?
Or it's possibly not the frequency, but it's possibly how many improvements they make each cycle.
Right.
Well, yeah, I think that's what you have to think about here. And what is this phone that we're going to see tomorrow? I mean, here's what we know about the phone. We've seen it. We know what it looks like, presumably, but we don't actually know anything about it terms of.
Let's hold that thought, Joshua. That's great. I want to talk about what is Apple going to announce tomorrow, and in particular, what does iPhone 4 or whatever we call it, what does that look like? And by the way, the unofficial Apple weblog has just disclaimed that picture, saying, "Nope, it wasn't real. It was a phony.
Definitely not real.
Definitely not real. Definitely not." So we're going to take a break, come back. We've got a great cast of characters here. This is a perfect bunch to talk about these issues. Lots to talk about this week. Mark Millian from the Los Angeles Times, Julio Ojeda Zapata from the Pi Press, as they call it, the St. Paul Pioneer Press, and from Engadget, the editor-in-chief, Joshua Topolsky. Boy, you couldn't get a more elite crew in here to talk about phones and more. Before we go on, though, I do want to tell you about our friends at Citrix. They do such great stuff, and of course, their GoToMeeting program builds on that foundation of high-quality, reliable, speedy remote access to give you a way to eliminate face-to-face meetings. I mean, you got to have face-to-face meetings in business. You got to press the flesh. But frankly, it's time-consuming. Travel is expensive. More and more people are trying to meet via conference call, and that's just not going to make it because people are spaced out. They're zoned out. It's not engaging. Online meetings, that's the future, and Citrix has this great GoToMeeting product that's the best in the business. I have several accounts because, believe it or not, we'll actually have several GoToMeetings going on at once. And if you've got an iPad, the free GoToMeeting client on the iPad is killer. It's killer. Use GoToMeeting for product reviews, for sales presentations, for training sessions, for collaboration, all from your desk. Go right now to GoToMeeting.com/twit. GoToMeeting.com/twit. Sign up for that 30-day free trial so you can see how this works. Within a minute, you'll have GoToMeeting installed. Now, the next time you're on a conference call, you say, wait a minute, I want to show you something. They say, what? You say, go to GoToMeeting.com. Here's the meeting ID. You can email a link, of course, ahead of time, too. They're seeing your computer on their screen. They're seeing the keynote or the PowerPoint presentation. They're seeing the spreadsheets, the drawings. You're working together. You're collaborating. You're sharing desktops. It's powerful, it's easy, it's fast, and your clients or colleagues don't have to have it installed for them to get to a meeting. They just go to GoToMeeting.com. You want to try this right now. GoToMeeting.com/twit. 30 days free. I'm telling you, it'll change the way you do business. Mark Millian, Joshua Topolsky, Julio Ojeda Zapata. We're talking about what is going to be in the next iPhone. I'll let you start, Joshua, because I cut you off.
Like I was saying before you rudely cut me
rudely
off.
Rudely interrupted you for an actual rudely commercial.
Or just to talk about a product. so like I said, we've seen the iPhone, but we don't really know what's in it. So we know what we've heard, the rumors we've heard. But first off, it's got a front-facing camera.
Okay, let's talk about the front-facing camera. Yeah, we all know that because of, by the way, Joshua, kudos to you for not giving that clown $5,000.
Well, I mean, you know, hey, we're not choir boys. We were very tempted. I mean, we talked to these guys. You know, we thought about buying that phone. We definitely had conversations.
And why did you not?
By the time, well, they were liars. They were obviously pretty bad liars. And by the time we got to any point where we were even considering it, it was out of our reach. We didn't know if they were telling the truth about it at all. I mean, by the time we got to that point where maybe we would buy it, maybe we wouldn't, it was like, it just seemed like it maybe was a fake. These guys didn't have it.
So you didn't go to the AOL lawyers and they said, no, whatever.
No, we did. I did. We did. We had a conversation with them in the midst of all this, and they said you'd be crazy to buy it.
Did they say you'd be at risk of criminal prosecution?
Almost verbatim said you would be insane to pay money for that phone. And this was after we had already had huge debates because
a picture of it though, right?
We had some pictures that we were given, and we didn't know if they were real. When we posted those pictures...
You didn't take them. They gave you pictures.
No. We didn't take them. We never saw it in person. We never met these guys in person. But when we published those, part of the reason we published them was we said, we don't know what this thing is. It could be fake. It could be a knockoff. It could be anything. It didn't seem... We were kind of like, you know what? It's probably a knockoff. And when I woke up the next morning, people were saying, hey, this is a knockoff. And I thought, well, that makes sense.
Is there pressure? How much pressure is there on you as a gadget blog to publish?
What do you mean?
If there's pictures, even if you think, well, these might be not, we don't know what the provenance is of these. Is there nevertheless pretty strong incentive to publish anyway?
Well,
with whatever disclaimers you decide to put on there.
If you want to. But the thing about it is credibility, right? You can't keep publishing bad Photoshops or fakes and have people come back to you and say, well, I expect it has to be, there has to be some shred of possibility.
That's a very good point.
You know, and when we look at those pictures, we have the whole team will go over them with like a fine tooth comb saying, what is going on here? Is this a Photoshop? Are there any artifacts? So we really look into it. We try not to publish garbage. I mean, the goal is I don't want to waste people's time and get people, you know, thinking and worried and excited about something that's just a fake. So
if it's real, you want to be first, you want to have it, but this is true. Cause there are blogs and no names. I'll say no names where a lot of rumors get published. And after a while there's rumor fatigue where you start to say, you know, I can't believe anything these guys say. Right. And because half the time it doesn't happen.
Right. I mean, and that's the danger. You really don't want to be, for us, the idea is news, right? We want this news to be useful to people. So I don't want to become a site where you can't count on news, where you're just getting rumors. I mean, we certainly have published stuff that didn't turn out to be real, you know, but it's always after. We don't do it. If we just get a tip, somebody says, hey, I have some information. We don't just go straight to publish. We have to follow up on it. We have a process for that. So,
and in fact, the unofficial Apple weblog may have been bit by this picture because now they published it at first. I think they published. Go ahead.
Yeah, I actually spoke to them about. I mean, we got this. We've been getting the same picture sent to us all day.
You all get the same stuff, don't you?
Yeah, and it's fake. You can clearly see there's trouble with the render. It does not look like what the actual phone looks like. If you look at the side of it there, the back of it doesn't look right.
No, it's not square. It's actually not square.
It's also an incredibly boring advertisement.
Yeah, this Apple was never going to do that.
They already used faster. They can't use speed again.
In the background, these like loopy things.
Not
like,
Apple.
That's just Apple would never do that. That doesn't look like Apple.
It's not the right typeface. Yeah, they use Myriad.
Well, it's bold or something.
Yeah.
And it just, they're not doing it in colors either. They're not going to do it in colors. If they were going to do it in colors, we probably would have seen, because we've seen white and we've seen black. Leaks from Vietnam and from China. So I think if there were going to be colors, we would have gotten something by now. But maybe not. But I don't think.
Yeah.
I think it's happening.
But so I'm sorry. I got a little bit on a sidetrack because I just wanted to thank you, Joshua, for not, you know, falling into that trap.
Here's the thing. I don't want to be like, you know, I appreciate that, but we were very tempted. I don't necessarily know if, you know, I think there are things that happened with the phone had we gotten the phone, I mean, it's possible. Had the guy said, we're down the street, come meet us.
When you say, you're saying guy or guys?
I mean, people who, you know.
Was it two? Was it more than one guy?
We spoke to, I mean.
Have you been subpoenaed on this? Have you?
No, it's hard to say. Honestly, it's hard to say. When we had these conversations, it was not clear, to be honest, who had the phone. That's one of the reasons we decided to not go, and that's one of the reasons we decided to publish the photos. Our thought was, we don't know what's going on. We don't know if these guys, you know, this guy or these guys are being straight with us.
It was hinky. It was hinky from the start.
Yeah, and then we thought the easiest way to deal with this is just, you know, forget. Just put this picture up.
Right.
And if it's real, we'll find out. And if it's fake, people will say that thing is fake. And what I wanted to say was, I think there are things that happen in this story that I can't fault Giz for doing. You know, they went for it. And if you're going to pay for a scoop, this is huge. Somebody says, I have the new iPhone.
It's a scoop.
And yeah, it's a huge scoop. And if you get it and you do a hands-on of it, I mean, it's crazy. I'm sure that they didn't think this thing was stolen, which is, I think, how Apple considers it, right?
Pretty clear after the D conference that Steve feels like it was stolen.
I think if somebody had said, we stole this phone, I don't think Giz would have bought it.
Right.
You know, but I think there are things that they could have done differently after getting that hands-on up that I might have done differently. But, you know, this scoop, and we were very torn. That's what I'm saying. You know, we were very torn about this.
I appreciate your candor, because you could have said, yeah, we never would have done that. So I appreciate your candor, Josh.
I mean, it's just when you're presented with something that's so alien, this is a completely alien thing to us. We don't normally get people coming to us saying, will you pay us for this scoop and this level of scoop, this magnitude?
Right.
So we were very torn, and I think that a lot of people would be torn. Now, I have to say, policy will not be, we're not unclear on it at all. The policy is we're not even going to think about it. Nothing is worth the hell that Giz, I'm sure, is going through.
Yeah, poor Jason Chen is just dying at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. It's really pretty crazy.
So you haven't been contacted by police about this?
Oh, I mean, they confiscated my computer and...
No.
No. Yeah, you missed that one. No.
I got a scoop for you.
I haven't been contacted yet, but you know, I mean, you never know. I mean, our name is certainly there. You know, Jobs said it. So
yeah,
when I heard about Jason them raiding his house, taking his computers,
horrible.
I was really scared.
Horrible.
I mean, I thought if they could do this to him, they could do it to me. You know, I think there's a real issue. I think the way they went about that was
well. You're all three journalists who are protected by Shield laws. Did it feel to you like maybe the violation of Shield laws was going on, Julio? Did this strike you as a little bit of a bad precedent that the police kind of raided this guy's house, took all his computers, ignored Shield laws?
Not being a lawyer nor playing one on TV, I'm not really sure.
It bothered me. I thought, you know, there are exceptions if they break the law. There's exceptions. You know, a journalist, just because he's a journalist, isn't protected against prosecution. But there are reasons for the Shield laws, and I just hate the idea that. I mean, look, it's at worst a stolen phone. They took everything. They took his business cards. They raided his house. And it seems to me that's overreaction. Mark, do you think?
Have to be careful to not specifically place the blame on Apple there. Because Apple saying, going to a task force that
we
represents
don't know
them
that.
And saying.
They admit that they called the cops.
Right. They called this task force called React. And they said some of our... private corporate property has been stolen, and this is all the information we have. We don't know if they said, now go kick down some doors and take his business cards and his iPad.
I doubt it. I mean, it does. I feel like people want to paint Apple as somehow masterminding this raid, but that's not how it works. I mean, in the real world, Apple doesn't call up the police and say, go raid this guy's house.
No, of course not.
Say, of course, you know, right.
They report a crime, and then the React has to decide what to do.
I think that's the question about the Shield law is what, you know, the thing is, I can't kill somebody and say, well, I was in the middle of investigating a story and this guy got in my way, so I had to take him out. But, you know, I'm protected under the Shield law, right? I mean, you can't commit a crime.
Of course not.
And be protected by, I think the problem here was the way they went about, I mean, did they need to break in his door? Could they have come to the door and said, we need to talk to you about this stuff?
Well, the Shield law is to protect sources. We don't know what other sources are on that. The point of the Shield Law is that they have to that this can be circumscribed, this search, to protect other sources. I'm not saying you're protecting Jason Chen, but you're protecting sources, and they took everything willy-nilly and gave nobody an opportunity to say, okay, you can take this, but not this. And I, so I just it concerned me. I mean, this is old news. I guess we could drop it, but
I when this whole thing was going down, I think every journalist sort of paused and asked themselves, how would this have played out?
How would you have done this?
Our news organization. Yeah. And I can see the conversations with Tom Plattinger, our editor, our attorney. And I haven't discussed this with them, but I'm certain that they would have said, stay the frack away from that thing. Don't go anywhere near that. As a result, again, not a lawyer here, but I think Gizmodo is on really shaky, flimsy ground in every way conceivable. So
it's problematic. I mean, it is, you know, obviously that's what we were told. But it's the question is, how far will the police go against Gizmodo? I mean, who's the criminal? If they're being looked at, are they the criminal here? I mean, are the people who sold the phone? I mean, I read some of those documents. I mean, these guys don't come off looking good. They're like hiding evidence or destroying evidence. And I think the fear, I'm guessing, right, the idea that they get behind on getting Jason's computers was, we're scared he's going to destroy evidence.
Right.
And we want to prevent that from happening, right? So they didn't take the computers to, and I mean, I don't think that he would have done that, but they didn't take the computers to look at everything on them. And that's what they're saying, right? We're not going to look at these. We just need to make sure, at least I would imagine, we just need to make sure that I agree with Julio. It's shaky ground because Apple considers this thing stolen. They reported it as stolen. There's trade secrets that have been, the thing was taken apart. It was broken while it was taken apart. So, I mean, if it's stolen property and there are trade secrets, I mean, not just the device itself, but the things inside of it, it's not a good, I mean, it's
bad all
it's
around.
Not a good place to be. Yeah.
So, however, it did give us, you do believe that it is the next iPhone, yes?
Oh, yeah.
So it gave us a pretty good look at what the next iPhone, we know front-facing camera. Do you want a front-facing camera? Julio, you said you wouldn't use it.
Okay.
I don't know who you're going to call with it.
Okay. My parents live in rural New Hampshire. They just got broadband, and I'm doing backflips for joy because my ability to communicate with them digitally has been seriously compromised. So our family connectivity has just taken a quantum leap, and we're doing the whole video chat thing.
Using Skype.
Like crazy. Yeah. No, we're using
iChat.
iChat. Mm-hmm. And so at this point, I'm really looking forward to handing my son
an iPhone
and have him chat with grandma.
Yeah.
And he's going to be all over that. I'm really excited about this. I want that front-facing camera. I'm going to use it like crazy.
Okay. Mark, you agree?
I just can't think of a time when I'm out and about and need it on my phone. I mean, I have it on my computer and I never use it. I only use it to do
Twitter. Wonder if you'll be able to use it with anything but iChat. You know, is it going to be an Apple only experience? What is Apple going to do?
I feel like if they don't from the start, they will eventually open up the front facing camera
to Skype
API, just like they did the back facing camera API.
I think that they're going to have to let people have access to it. I don't know. I think that the thing about doing an iChat with video. I mean, Mark, you're saying, and I agree. You know, where are you going to be that you need to do this thing? But think about the possibility of being able to call your wife or your brother or whatever when something crazy is going on.
And show them
that you're standing somewhere.
Right.
Or talk to them while you're in Paris and you're at the Eiffel Tower.
This is a typical Apple thing where there's not a strong use case for it. They're kind of saying, we think you're going to want to do this, and so we're going to put it in here and you will do it because we put it in.
And people probably will. I mean,
I guess.
You'll probably find ways to do. I mean, here's the thing. It's not a new feature.
Nokia's had it for ages.
I mean, we were just, we had some people in Taipei at Computex, and we have a post where they were being driven around by a cabbie who was talking, having a video conversation with somebody while driving.
There you go.
But it was just like a normal thing. I mean, it's just, you know, he's talking to his wife or somebody, and you know, I think it may become much more commonplace once Apple, you know, this always happens. Apple says, it's something you say, well, what do I need it for?
And then,
suddenly, like iMovie, you never thought you'd be editing your own movies, and you are.
I've said that again and again. I said, nobody ever wants to edit movies. Nobody.
You know, I'm standing.
You're wrong.
I was wrong.
You know, if I'm standing in the grocery store, I'm really tired of conversations with my wife. I'm standing in the grocery store and I'm having her spend 5 minutes describing what it is that I need to buy for her. I can just point the phone at it. I'm looking forward to that.
One other hardware. I mean, it seems like it's, and this has been the case, 3GS was merely evolutionary. It seems like the next generation will be merely evolutionary. Anything revolutionary? I mean, it's front facing is the closest thing to revolutionary.
I think this would be a big change, really. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a higher resolution screen. We're hearing double
gigahertz process. Really, double resolution?
A4. I think it'll be the A4 processor.
That's the processor in the iPad, which really is a snappy little devil.
And imagine it with more RAM, which supposedly this is going to have. So it'll have double the RAM of the iPad. It's going to have a higher resolution screen, almost the resolution of the iPad, from what I understand.
Really?
People are saying 960 by, what's the number?
800?
It's double. It's double the current.
720, so probably. 960. 480.
480 by... No, I'm confused. It's
480 is 960.
Resolution. It's 320 by 480, so it's 960
by 480.
640.
640.
960 by 640. My math is awful, apparently.
But that's amazing. That's quite a high-resolution screen.
Yeah, so it'll double. And I've heard some rumors. I mean, it's not stuff that we published, but that they're going to have all kinds of new ways to scale up apps. And... you know, I think the thing about that, I mean, I think this is going to be a big, big change. I think this is going to make the Evo and other phones not look as quite as amazing as they do today. I think tomorrow, unfortunately, and I think the Evo is a great phone. The Incredible is a great phone. There are a lot of very strong competitors that have bested the 3GS in terms of tech. But tomorrow, they may have to go back to the drawing board. Which I think is, you know, what Apple does.
Could I ask you a question, though? You know, the one feature in Android that's killer for me, because whenever I am in an unfamiliar place, I fire up the driving directions. Have Engadget heard anything about...
Turn-by-turn.
Apple implementing turn-by-turn? That would be awesome.
I mean, there's a rich marketplace for that.
Doesn't Google want to spread its turn-by-turn navigation everywhere it can? I would seem to me like they would say, hey, can we tap into this. It's already there. It's using your maps.
Steve, at the D conference, Steve said, we don't mind using Google stuff on our phone, right?
Yeah, and I don't think they do. Google does some stuff really, really well, right?
Why not?
He's painting Google as non-competitors, where another quote from that was, they decided to come in and compete with us.
We didn't compete with them.
Yeah.
We didn't go after their search. They went after our phone.
I think it was the last WWDC that I was at last year, they had said turn-by-turn directions would be coming from Google, we never saw it. I think that may have more to do with a business move in that they make the most money from TomTom apps and the $90.
They make a ton of money from $90 apps. That's 30 bucks in their pocket.
And they're some of the top grossing apps.
Yeah.
They may also argue because, you know, in fact, you know, it may not happen, but because they when they talked about multitasking, they talked about turn by turn. They said, what do you really need it for? Well, turn by turn directions, that's something you need to keep running, even if you're doing other things. But, you know, I think Apple would say, well, we're giving you a choice. You know, you can get TomTom, you can get Telenav, you can get all these different services instead of just being locked into one thing. Now, to be honest with you, I see the value in that. I love Google's navigation, but it has taken me some crazy routes before. I question whether or not it's the best navigation I could possibly... Yeah.
So, not just Google, everybody. You said, Julio, it brought you through downtown San Francisco.
The Google navigation, I just kind of went blind and trusted it to get me to the cottage.
But
and
I've
it,
had
it led
that
me astray
happen.
About four times.
I've had that happen on every GPS I've ever used where sometimes you just get crappy direction. Were you thinking? It's a computer. That's why.
And it kept contradicting itself. First it said, go here. Right. And then 5 minutes later it said, go in the other direction.
Doing the best it can.
Yeah.
John Gruber has a nice post from April about this higher res screen. According to his calculations, it's 162 pixels an inch. That's higher resolution than a Mac display. That's an incredible resolution.
Gruber has some secret sources. I mean, he gets
some good stuff.
Every once in a while, he nails something.
Yeah.
I mean, so he may be right on. I mean, you know, I've heard the resolution is really high. I haven't heard a number, but from very reliable sources, I've heard that it's really high, and this number makes sense to me.
LCD screen, though, not AMOLED, right?
I don't think they'll go to AMOLED. I think that they recognize the biggest problem with AMOLED, which is
daylight.
You can't see it in the
daylight,
daytime.
Daylight's bad.
It's just really, really problematic. I mean, I love the Nexus One, but every time I have to try to make a call during the day outside, it's like
hard to use.
Just guessing what I'm.
Well, the iPad has that problem too. Although I imagine they'll use these IPS displays. I would think in a high res iPhone.
Yeah, it's likely. I think they have a technology they like, and they're going to keep using. They're definitely going to have to up the battery life here, though. You're talking about a lot of new stuff going on, right? You've got this front-facing camera. You've got a higher resolution display. 5-megapixel camera, I think, is the rumor for the one on the back. And then faster processor, more RAM. So my guess is they're going to do something pretty... I mean, the battery's pretty big in this thing from what we've seen in the Giz teardown.
I'm going to correct myself. The existing iPhone is 162 pixels per inch. A 960 by 480 display at 3.5 inches would be 330 pixels per inch.
Is that even possible?
That's laser printing. That's a laser printer.
It's going to be great for reading.
Maps will look good. That's right. Reading will be good if you got the right fonts. Right.
Well, you think they're probably going to put iBooks onto the iPhone at some point.
They said they were doing that with OS 4. So.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's right. They announced it. Yeah. So. That'll happen. It'll be great. And I'm sure they'll tout it. They'll say, look how clean the text looks on this.
All right. I've got a conspiracy theory I want to run by you guys so that you can mock me, laugh at me, and make fun of me. And I know you're going to do that. But I really think there's going to be a really important one more thing tomorrow. And I'll talk about that in just a second. But before I do that, I do want to mention our friends at Carbonite. We'll take a little break here. Mark Millian is with us from the LA Times, from the Pioneer Press, Julio Ojeda Zapata, and from Engadget, the editor-in-chief of Engadget. Joshua Topolsky, we're glad to have all three of you on. Carbonite, I've mentioned before many times. I hope you know about Carbonite. Carbonite is the leader in online backup for PCs or Mac. And one of the things I like about Carbonite is it's automatic. You know, if you have to remember to back up, let's face it, if I have to remember to back up, it ain't going to happen. Carbonite does it for you automatically. In fact, if you go right now to carbonite.com and use the offer code TWIT, TWIT, you could try this without even a credit card for 15 days, which will give you enough time to really get a sense of how this works. As soon as you install the software, it starts backing up using your high-speed internet connection right to the cloud, to the Carbonite servers. You can use AES 256-bit encryption if you want. Password's yours. You don't have to tell anybody, so it's very private. It backs up all your personal files, financial records, photos, music, so they're safe and sound. You can tell it what folders to back up. I think on the free trial, you can't back up video because that's so big, but everything but the video on the free trial. And then when you buy, you can back up everything. Unlimited backup from your internal hard drive for less than $5 a month. But to me, it's not, the price is secondary. It's affordable. Yes, it's a great deal. You don't have to pay more when you upload more. But the real deal is how easy it is to use, how well-written the software is. It never slows your computer down. It knows what you're doing. It doesn't use your internet access until you're not using it. So it stays out of the way, but it just happens so that you are backed up. And you can access those files from any computer you can get online with, including your iPhone. There's great iPhone software. I mentioned this before. I mentioned it one more time. My daughter's going to college in the fall, and I am putting Carbonite on her laptop because I'll tell you what, you know that laptop might get stolen. The hard drive might die. More likely than all of that, she might just accidentally erase the paper that's due tomorrow. And when I know when I get that call, Dad, what do I do? The paper, I erased it. I can say, good news. I got Carbonite on there. You just go and get it. Carbonite.com. It's backup done right. You got to back it up to get it back with Carbonite. So big announcement from AT&T last week. Actually, a couple of announcements. First from AT&T, they said, we're going to double, effectively, our early termination fees on our phones to, what is it, $375 on smartphones. Then, late last week, they say, oh, and by the way, you know, that unlimited pricing plan for data that you're getting the iPad, the $30 for all you can eat, that's gone. Starting, and here's an interesting date, June 7th. They say you can order an iPad between now and June 7th, and even if you don't get it by June 7th, we'll guarantee that $30 unlimited. But from now on, $15, 200 megabytes, $25, 2 gigabytes, $10 a gigabyte in advance of that, after that. Tiered pricing. So do you think it's interesting, I put this to you, that AT&T announces all of this on June 7th? What is happening? What is happening on June 7th? What could be going on? What could be? Oh, wait a minute. Maybe that one more. This is my thought. Now, I know you guys are going to think I'm nuts. One more thing. Oh, and the iPad and iPhone on Verizon.
I got a better one.
Okay.
How about on Verizon and Sprint?
And Sprint.
And T-Mobile.
And T-Mobile.
Oh. Every network in America.
Yes!
Tell me you didn't just get chills.
I did!
I said that.
I got chills!
Yeah, I know, right? If it happens, that would be it. It's over. It's all over. We just end.
It's all over for AT&T.
Shut down the site because there won't be any more gadgets to report on.
Isn't that... You know what? That's brilliant, Joshua. Why not? Why stop at Verizon?
I mean, T-Mobile's a very short step. All you have to do is change the bands. Same radio. Right?
If you're building CDMA and you've got GSM, go all the way.
So if you do CDMA, you're going to lose data and voice at the same time. And I think that if they do it, which would be the smartest thing that they've ever done, and you know, Steve Jobs is not a dummy. If they were to do it, they would say, you lose data and voice at the same time. That's how the CDMA networks work. But we think the pros outweigh the cons there. And it's a great experience regardless.
And we believe in choice.
Right.
We're the open solution.
Just imagine a world where everybody who's on Verizon, everybody who's on Sprint, and everybody who's on T-Mobile can also buy the iPhone in America.
So you don't think I'm crazy?
I mean, you're crazy, and it's probably not going to happen. But I think the timing is really unusual. The 7th, making these changes on the 7th, the termination fee thing is a little unusual. And I think that it could very well happen.
I think
the termination fee is only following suit with Verizon.
Verizon's already doing that. Let's face that.
I think they're just trying to stay in line there. And the data, I think AT&T is saying, holy crap, everybody's going to do video conferencing.
Right.
We better put some limits on this or our towers are going to get hammered.
Oh, so you think it's in response to the front-facing camera?
I think it's in response to the front-facing camera, them opening up VoIP on the App Store.
Right.
I think they're just getting ready for a flood of people going to data rather than voice.
Will there be tethering finally?
I believe.
Well, look, it's
AT&T said
the 3GS can do tethering. AT&T said last year we'll have it by the fall.
Not here.
Yeah, they could do it in Canada. It could do it in Europe. It just can't do it on AT&T.
I heard rumors that it's going to be an extra $20 per month.
That would be a good deal. I can tether right now on my Froyo 2.2 Nexus One for free because T-Mobile hasn't figured that out yet. I can tether
Froyo.
Froyo.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's frozen yogurt.
Froyo. Did I say Froyo?
A lot of people say Froyo.
Froyo.
It's like a made up word.
I'm in the Froyo.
But I mean, look, I agree with Mark. You know, they are. It is in line with a lot of other stuff. I don't think that your conspiracy theory is crazy, but I kind of love a good conspiracy.
Let's
theory.
Let's make it really good. Let's juice it up, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, why not?
I like the option in theory, but. This rumor's been going on for 2 years.
It has, but we got now some evidence. We got some, but you gave me an alternate excuse that really is pretty logical. Damn
it's
you!
All, what Mark said is really
damn
solid.
Your eyes, Mark Million.
It does ruin the fun.
You
of that.
Ruined the fun. I like Joshua. I like your idea.
I know all four, right?
Isn't it in Apple's interest though? I mean, why? I mean,
yes, it is.
I'm not so sure about that.
Why not?
AT&T is giving them a ton of money per new subscriber.
Of course they are.
You don't think the other carriers would do that?
I don't think so. Once you open it up to everybody, what is the incentive? There's no exclusivity there. Why is Verizon going to say, we'll give you 400?
If you're Verizon, you say, I've got the best 3G network and it's, you know, it's more reliable and blah, 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 whatever they say. And you know that there are people, lots of people who have Verizon or want to get Verizon because they know it's so reliable. There's a huge incentive to give them this phone, to say, you don't have to go. If you want the iPhone, we have it. You can get it. It's happening on Verizon. I mean, to me, the incentives are just, they pile up. Same for all of these carriers. I mean, I think it's, if you stand behind your product as it is, it could only get better with having the iPhone, right? That would be their stance, I would imagine.
My suspicion is that AT&T is just offering Apple an insane amount of money
subscribers. They've got to be. But don't you think Apple's a little mad if AT&T says, oh, that $30 thing that you announced in January is now not? Don't you think that'd piss me off?
That is a weird change for the iPad since nothing is changing about the iPad. I mean, the iPad is still going to be the iPad tomorrow, right?
Yeah, there's no more additional capabilities.
Unless
There's a front-facing iPad camera.
Let me throw a conspiracy theory out. They announce a new iPad that's joining its brother, the new iPhone, and it's got a front-facing camera.
I don't see that.
If you're an iPad owner, you can join in on calls with your
iPhone. You disagree, Mark? Yeah, I don't see that either. Not so soon.
I said conspiracy. I didn't say it's good.
2 months after the iPad
No, that's too soon.
Yeah, because Apple would never suddenly release a new product just after they released.
2 months? I don't think that's ever happened.
That's too soon.
No, it is. That's pretty soon.
Yeah.
Damn it.
But they could. Okay. Conspiracy theory number two. Maybe they don't do the iPhone on these other carriers. Maybe they do a Verizon iPad.
Maybe. Boy Genius seems to think so.
Boy Genius thinks that's what's coming?
Yep. They say that Verizon is testing a 3G iPad.
Yeah, and we've heard rumors of CDMA iPad. But there you don't have the problem with calls because you're not making calls. You don't.
That makes huge sense, actually.
Yeah. And so maybe that's what we're going to hear. Maybe I'm half right.
But I think if they do the iPad on Verizon, don't you think people will say, why not the phone, too? You can get away with that?
I think I would say that. But I've been saying, why not the phone for 3 years? Why AT&T? I have to say one thing. Yeah, maybe AT&T is glad they have an exclusive. It's costing them a lot of money. And it's generating huge amounts of hate. AT&T, according to PC Magazine, which just did testing all over the country, still has the fastest network. But ask any iPhone or iPad user, they're going to laugh at you if you assert that. I mean, it might be technically true, but people don't feel like it's true. AT&T's got some bad rep from the iPhone and iPad. Maybe AT&T is going to say, get out of here and good riddance.
No, it's a good problem to have for AT&T, don't you think?
Yeah,
they say we've got so many users.
But maybe they're not making a lot of money. Maybe they're giving so much money to Apple that it's not making the money on these new users. Do you ever think of that? What about that? I love these conspiracies.
But the eternal question, which maybe Engadget has a educated answer for, is are the AT&T problems a result of AT&T or a result of the iPhone's popularity? And will the same thing happen to Verizon once they get the
Apple
device?
Spread it around many carriers, it's going to be better than if it's just all on AT&T, right?
Let me ask you a question. Do you know people who have a Bold 9700 on AT&T? Anybody with a BlackBerry or any other phone?
Yeah,
on
lots of people. They don't hate it.
Do they have the same problem?
No.
Did you ever think that maybe it's not AT&T?
It's the iPhone, man. That's what some people assert.
Do you ever think that those notches on the new iPhone might be, antennas?
To help call dropping issues?
I'm thinking maybe it's not just AT&T. And I'm not trying to defend them. But I have gotten the impression that it's possible that there's a kind of a combination happening here. The phone may not be so great when it comes to antennas. And we know they've struggled with the antenna issue, right? The original iPhone had this plastic piece on its aluminum back, and they canned aluminum because obviously they were having trouble. I mean, I'm guessing. I don't know why they would want to go away from it. And now the new one has an aluminum rim around it, but the back is some kind of tempered glass or plastic.
Hmm.
So, I mean, I think that the question should be raised, is it AT&T's network? Or is it the iPhone itself, or is it just a combination of the two? I think it's a combination. I think that if you ask a BlackBerry user, they don't have the same problems.
Somebody in the chat room pointed out that somebody called Beat TV, BEET.TV, and never, I don't know who they are, had a video interview with a Verizon spokesperson at
John Johnson.
John Johnson, you know him?
Don Johnson. Yeah, I actually met him at D.
He says Verizon has, let's see, there is no plan for Verizon to support Apple mobile devices in, quote, the immediate future, end quote. Well, that could be tomorrow. Maybe, who knows what the immediate future is.
He's pulling at jobs. It's like the books.
Well, you got to figure, if you're about to partner with Apple, you're not going to pull the mistake. Who was it that?
McGraw-Hill.
McGraw-Hill.
So
you're not going to do that. You've learned the lesson. That you don't say, yeah.
So it was great. The CEO was like, oh, yeah, Steve's announcing his iPad tablet thing tomorrow, and we'll be there.
I think you still can't buy McGraw-Hill books on the Apple Store. No. I believe the punishment is still on.
I mean, you heard Steve at D, right? They go, when they're wrong, he doesn't take it lying down.
No.
Okay?
Steve holds grudges.
Yeah, he goes for the throat.
Steve, I mean, frankly, let's face it, this whole Adobe thing comes from way back many years ago when Adobe said, we're going to stop making Premiere for Macintosh. And Steve hit the roof and said, we are going to screw Adobe every which way we can. Quick, find a video editing program. They bought Final Cut. And I think it goes back to that. Steve's still holding that grudge. How many years ago was that? Don't screw with the job, Meister.
He was just waiting for the right moment. Right, revenge is a dish best served cold.
Exactly.
It's like, I'm really gonna get you now.
You think you could pull Premiere off the Mac? Actually, there's a big. We should mention this. There's a huge security flaw in Flash. Steve Jobs is going, yeah, what a surprise. A zero-day exploit that is in all copies of Flash pre-version 10. So, and then Adobe has no fix for it and probably won't have a fix for it for at least a couple of weeks. So just a word of warning. If you're using Flash, you might want to go to the Adobe Labs and get version 10.1. The beta, apparently, it's release candidate 7, so it's fairly stable.
I mean, all it does is allow people to control your computer remotely. It's not a big deal.
What am I worried about?
I mean,
yeah. Zero day.
It's a complete exploit of your entire system.
No big deal. By the way, everybody who's watching this live, I was watching on Flash. You have my deepest sympathy. No, you're safe if you're getting it from a reliable site like us. It's these, a couple of ways it could be used. Places like MySpace where I don't know if they still allow this, but they used to allow anybody kind of anonymously to buy ads. Those ads could have Flash embedded. They could have malicious Flash apps. Or hacker.com. I'd stay away from there. Don't watch any Flash on hacker.com.
Some of the best stuff there.
I know. There's some good stuff there. Good.
I'm done for. Yeah. Well, I have a Mac, though.
Oh, yeah. That's true. That's another point, by the way, that it does affect Mac, Linux, and Windows. It's the same bug in all Flash platforms. But it's the hacker would not merely get control of your machine. He would then have to write an application to take advantage of it. Seems in most cases, these guys say, well, I'll just write it for Windows. What am I write it for Mac for? Nobody has a Mac.
95% of the market.
Right. Why should I waste time writing
Except
that?
The Mac users are all spending more money, so they may have more in their bank account.
More credit cards there?
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, it does affect Adobe Reader and Acrobat as well. But if you're using that, you're just a schmuck. Who uses Reader?
How do you really feel?
Now, come on. Who uses Reader, really?
I do occasionally.
You don't use Foxit or QPDF or some other PDF thing?
Well, typically I use Preview.
If you've got a Mac, you don't need Reader.
If I'm in Mac OS. But Reader, I mean, once in a while I bust out Reader for something, you know. Can't select something.
I would not bust it out anymore. My advice to you, do not bust it out. Let's see. Gizmodo was banned from WWDC.
That's surprising.
Why does this story say Gizmodo and not Leo Laporte too? I mean, if I'm going to get banned.
You got to do a post about it.
I should say I was banned. No, I don't know if I was banned. I didn't ask. We've got plenty of people there.
It isn't really a shocker, is it?
No.
I mean, especially the way Jobs was talking.
You were at the D conference, weren't you, Joshua?
Yeah.
So let's get, I tell you what, we're going to take a break, come back in a bit and get Joshua's report from D8. We can also do a lightning round. I'm sure there's about 800 other stories we got to get to. It's too much fun having you guys on. We've got to get you back soon. But right now, we're going to take a little break. Mark Millian's here, Julio Ojeda Zapata, and Joshua Topolsky. One of the smartest groups we've ever had here since last week. I'm good that way. I don't want to make any implications. I do want to remind you about Audible.com. I tell you what, I am loving. I'm listening now to the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, that Millennium Trilogy, and I am just loving it. Simon Vance is such a good reader. Audible is the place to go for audiobooks. It's the place. I mean, there's just no question about it. 75,000 books. Mysteries, thrillers, of course, you know, the page-turners, but also history, nonfiction, science fiction, arts and entertainment, self-development, and porno. I mean, erotica. It's all there. I am loving. They have now The Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest, as well as The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo and The Girl Who Played with Fire. The full Stieg Larsson trilogy is now available on Audible.com, and I've got all three of them on my Android phone. I'm loving it. Audible.com. Dan Ariely has a new one. I loved his first book, predictably irrational. And his new one is kind of a follow-up to that. Oops. The reason I mention all these books is because I've got a way for you to get two books free, a secret way to do it. It's called The Upside of Irrationality. If you go to audible.com/twit2, you'll be signing up for the Platinum account. That's the one I have. Two books a month. That's the minimum, if you ask me. See, here's the thing. I don't have a commute anymore, but I love to read. For a long time, I thought, I don't have time to read. I'm too tired when I get home. Then I discovered audible.com, and I was listening when I went to work. I was listening at the gym. I was listening when I did the dishes, listening when I walked the dog, and listening when I go to bed. And now I get a couple of hours of reading every single day without a commute. That means two books a month, easy. Think of all of the great stuff you're missing. Dan Ariely's newest is The Upside of Irrationality, The Unexpected Benefits of Defying Logic at Work and at Home. I loved Predictably Irrational. Get both of those. You could get two of those free. Here's what you do. You sign up for the Platinum account, audible.com/twit2. Your first two books are free. You can cancel at any time. You can keep the books forever. I don't think you're going to do that, though. But if you're worried, maybe, I don't know, are audiobooks for me? This is the way to find out. Listen to a great audiobook from audible.com. Try it free, audible.com/twit2.
Leo, I sometimes find it amazing that you recommend Audible because after I'm done listening to all your podcasts, I don't have any time.
But I know. There does seem to be a conflict of interest, doesn't there?
But let me tell you my favorite Audible experience. Last summer, my wife and I moved into – we lived in a condo for the longest time. We finally bought a house. Last summer, we were doing things like building retaining walls and things.
Oh, boy.
And I was out in the sun for hours.
You were actually doing manual labor.
We were doing it all ourselves.
I'm so amazed. I'm impressed.
And I whipped through all your podcasts in no time at all and had nothing to listen to. So I listened to The Road.
Oh, isn't that a great Cormac McCarthy?
Oh,
isn't that a great
wonderful
book?
Absolutely wonderful.
Do you have kids?
I have a 12-year-old.
Yeah, a boy?
Yes.
Oh, then it's a must-read. It's about a father and son in a post-apocalyptic world. It's
I read it in print before, and it just, as a father,
it comes to
killed
it kills you. Yeah,
killed
yeah,
me. Yeah, yeah. But I was listening to it again, and it was a wonderful execution of the book, and the irony of listening to a society having been destroyed while I was building essentially society
cool.
with my bare hands.
That's really cool.
It was a great experience. I just
yeah. Often I'll reread a book while listening to it, and it really does. It's another experience, I think.
And I swore when I read The Road in print, I'd never read it again. But I'm really glad I listened to it in Audible. Yeah.
You know, it's another good book that I read in the paper form and then listened to, and it came alive. Was Martin Yan's The Life of Pi? Have you read that? What a great And the reading of it. It might be one of my favorite audiobooks of all time. So I mentioned that it is on Android now. There's a beta. You have to join the Google Groups. So go to Google Groups and search for Android Audible. And there are a couple of bugs I notice. But boy, this is better. This beats the iPhone client. Because the iPhone client's just iTunes, basically. You sync them up and you can listen to them.
How much are they paying you, Leo? How much is...
They are an advertiser.
How much is Google paying you to say that?
I love Google. I am become a Google fanboy. I admit it. No, this is great because they've got, you should look at the app. Put it on your Evo. I've got it on my Nexus One and my Evo. You've got details about the book. You've got chapters. You can bookmark any part of the book so that there's a good moment, you could go back to it. But it also has Foursquare style badges. It keeps track. It's got a visualizer, so it keeps track of how much you can see all the stats of how much you've listened, total hours and minutes listened. And then there's like a ladder. But it also, I think, is really cool. It has a Foursquare style badges, and then it has a sleep function, which I use a lot. So now I can, I guess the iPhone does that, doesn't it? You can sleep. So you're listening to the book, and you can say, okay, I know I'm going to fall asleep after an hour, so make sure you turn it off after half an hour.
Fall asleep while reading?
Never.
Or listening, I guess.
Yes,
sorry.
Of course I do.
Yeah.
Don't
right.
you?
I mean, I don't listen to books. I read.
Well, but now see, maybe this is just me, but I find that I cannot go to sleep unless I read a book. That's how I go to sleep.
Well, no, that always puts me out.
Yeah,
but,
puts you right out.
Before I actually collapse into slumber, I put the book down usually.
My wife does not. Every
I'm not one
night.
Of those people who like fall asleep with a book on their
chest. Oh, every night. My wife, she's got the reading glasses on, the light on, and the book. Sometimes, I don't know how she does this. It's kind of a magic trick. The book is, she's still holding the book in the air. And she's out like a light. I don't know how she does it. It's a magic trick.
Making that up.
I know. It sounds unbelievable, but it's true.
It does. It's completely unbelievable. I think to the point that I think maybe you just lied.
Horses sleep standing up. Why can't my wife sleep reading?
You really, that is not a good road.
Not a great comparison.
You've made the biggest mistake of your life.
Okay, that's twice just now because earlier, didn't I say something bad? Oh, forget it. I'm
the
dead.
Best to not repeat it.
Yeah, right. What are you talking about, honey? No, you know what the beauty of this is? She does not listen to any of my podcasts. None, zero, zip.
I think we know why.
Yeah, because I'm... No, I love her. She's wonderful. Wonderful. What did I say we were going to talk about?
You talk about D, I think.
D, yeah. How was D? Was it good?
D was actually pretty great. I mean, you know, you have a Jobs interview. You never get to see Jobs interviewed, right? So... I mean, really, the man doesn't give
in. No, in fact, the last one was at D.
And believe me, I've asked repeatedly.
Yeah.
So the thing about it that was great, Walt and Kara don't pull punches, as I'm sure you know.
No, they did a good job, I thought.
They went in, and they went in on everything you thought, well, they're not going to ask about
right,
that.
Right,
right. And they just went for it. And they went right off the bat, right? Second question was about the phone. The first question was, what, flash stuff? And they just got into it. I mean, that's really good. But then you had Jobs, and we can talk about that if you want. But then there was also Ballmer was there, Peter Chow from HTC, James Cameron,
and
I mean, a ton of really great
Mark
people.
Oh, Zuckerberg. Sweaty Zuckerberg.
That sounded Zuckerberg. Very entertaining.
Wow.
Since you were at D, could I ask you a question?
Yes.
Was in your opinion, was Zuckerberg sweating because he was on the spot, or was he sweating because he was hot because of the hoodie?
Was it hot in there?
He was not sweating because he was hot. I could tell you that if you see it, have they released the full video of that?
I don't think the full video. I've seen clips.
Do they have like a big space heater right next to Zuckerberg's
I think
seat?
He had, to be honest with you, I think he had like a panic attack, you know, on stage. I think that he started talking about something that has been a real controversy. And, you know, you have these moments, and I've done it. I mean, everybody has.
They call it in performing arts, they call it flop sweats.
You know, moments of panic where
it's just not going well, and it's going worse and worse
and
worse.
You, and you start to, you know, for me, it's like I step outside myself for a second. I say, wait a second, this is awful. What am I doing?
Yep.
Right? And you kind of freak out a little bit.
Flop
sweats. I feel bad for him. It was very, I mean, everybody was like, what is going on?
I think if you were, you know, I think you could almost make a case that he did himself more good than harm, because I think everybody felt, oh, God.
Yeah, he seemed more human. But
it humanized him.
Julie and I were talking about this before, and It's like a 26-year-old CEO who's done a lot of great things and gotten lucky, but you're going up against veterans. You're going up against the hardest reporters out there. It's a tough situation to be in. I'm surprised he even took them up on it, especially at
he needed
at
to.
A point.
He needed to.
Yeah, but he blew it. I mean, the
Didn't
thing is,
well.
he needed to get on stage and make everybody feel like, hey, I know what's going on. I know what I'm doing. I'm going to fix the stuff that people don't like. We're going to make the stuff that people do like way better. And instead, it was weird. It just got weird.
He was the wrong guy to do it, but there's nobody else either, it seems like. Not Elliot Schrage, for sure. So
he never directly answered any question.
Not one.
He just kind of rambled all over the place.
What do you think's going on? Are they... Is it just an is it inarticulateness? Is it that they're really trying to hide something? What's going on? Are they really evil? Are they the Illuminati?
Well, you know, I've never met Mark Zuckerberg. I don't know him. I probably never will. But I'm going on my gut here. The guy, just fundamentally, in my opinion, is not an honorable person in the sense of putting the customer first. He's really thrilled with the little clubhouse he's built with his friends. He's relishing the power. He does have a vision for where the service is going, but he's pursuing that vision and at the expense often of the customer, and that bothers me, and that fundamentally influences my use of his product.
Well, I quit, as you know, I quit. Because I didn't know what was going on there.
You're gonna go back though, right?
Oh yeah, I already went back.
So,
I have
okay.
A site
so
then.
Here's the thing about Zuckerberg.
Yes.
Don't. You know, I think the problem is that we all expect that because he had a really good idea with Facebook and he continues to have good ideas about the service, and some are bad, obviously. But you know, he knows one thing. You know, he did this thing and he does it. He did it really well, obviously. I just think that we make the assumption that he should also have a great mind for knowing how to treat users' privacy or knowing how to treat users.
He's just a programmer, maybe. Maybe he's just a geeky programmer.
Yeah, I just think that we shouldn't expect him to be able to have all those answers. I mean, the problem is they need somebody who does, who has the answers, who can effectively say, I get what is right and what's wrong for users. He doesn't seem to understand that aspect of the business. And I think that it's dangerous for everybody to walk around and say, well, why doesn't he just have the answer when, you know, there are a lot of people who wouldn't have the answer. So, I mean, he may be very good at one thing, but not good at another. And I feel like he needs a committee, and that committee needs to be really smart about this stuff. And I'm not sure that committee is there. I mean, he says, you know, they have these meetings and they go over it, and he's got some advisors. You know, I assume he has people that are very close to him, but they probably also think like he does. So he needs somebody to step in and say, here's your vision, and here's reality, and the two have to find a way to meet, and I'm going to be the person to do that.
It's very simple. Who said this? I can't remember who said it on one of our shows this week. Facebook needs an somebody said this, needs an ombudsman that represents the user, just like the New York Times and I'm sure the LA Times have ombudsmen that represent readers. They need somebody who can clearly articulate what's going on. And they need, very simply, to be opt-in. If they're not opt-in, I don't buy it. If they don't flip the switch and say everything's private until you say so, they're breaking their commitment to users. And I think that they're never going to do that because it's not as profitable as what they're doing.
Well, I mean, it may not be as profitable, but
they have to do it. That was the promise.
Quit Facebook Day was a failure, right? Isn't that what everybody says? So,
well, a failure because only 35,000 quit, and probably more people join in 5 minutes than quit in a whole day.
It hasn't reached critical mass. I mean, will it? That's the question. I don't think so. I mean, it's like very inside baseball. The privacy complaints, in a lot of ways, are very much in the tech world and in our space. People really think about and talk about it. But to the users at large, to the people, the high school students and the grandmas and now everybody is joining Facebook. They're not thinking about it. They're not worried about it either. I mean, I think the issue is somebody's worried about it. Somebody should be worried about it. And Facebook doesn't need to be necessarily way out in front of it to the community at large. They need to be out in front of it to the people who are thinking about it and watching them.
And possible for Facebook to suffer from this, or it would be if there were an alternative. I think MySpace is a good example. MySpace fell apart because there was Facebook, but there's nothing right now that people who quit Facebook can logically go to. I mean, I looked at my or quit page. It's not
isn't Facebook the culmination of Friendster and MySpace? And I mean, isn't it all the things that those guys did wrong, they did right?
Yeah, but does that mean that that's the end of the line, or is there a next one? I mean, there's Friendster, MySpace, Facebook.
Is there a next Twitter?
Yeah, there's a next Twitter, don't you think?
What is it?
I don't know.
Right. Well, I mean, so we don't know, but it's at this point, it's like, right, there's Google for search.
It would be foolish. I mean, it would be foolish for anybody to say, oh, that's it, we're done. It's like the patent inspector in 1920 said, well, everything's been invented, so we can close the patent.
I agree. I think, what is the project called?
Diaspora. Diaspora. I don't know if Diaspora is it either, although I noticed that they cashed my check.
Cool idea, though.
It's a great idea.
They suffer from a very, very poisonous problem of having so much money to start. And
they wanted 10,000. They got several hundred thousand. Yeah.
Right. Now there's all of this pressure and everybody watching.
Four NYU students. You know what's going to happen? I think this is actually going to be fine. Is that the open source community is going to come to them. Developers are going to come to them. People are going to say, look, you are now the de facto leaders of this movement. Let us help you. Let us help you.
That would make sense, wouldn't it? If the whole idea. Yeah. I agree, though. It's tough when you all of a sudden you say, hey, we're going to build the solution to Facebook that everybody, we're going to make everybody feel comfortable and we're going to do the same kind of stuff. And then you've got to build it. Now you've got all this pressure, right?
Maybe it's not a Facebook. Maybe it's something else. I think open, granular, federated solution is probably a better solution than a single monolithic company. Bits and pieces from a variety of places. I think there are ways to solve this. And I feel the same way about Twitter. I don't think one company should be the arbiter of all of this.
Well, Twitter should be the pipes, shouldn't it? I feel like that's the same thing. But Facebook, it's a platform, right? But I think it's a platform. You know, I don't use it the way most people use it. I don't know how you guys use it. But, you know, the privacy stuff doesn't really – I'm not worried about it because I expect anything that I put on Facebook is going to be sort of
– I know like that.
Public.
I'm smart enough to say, okay, I'm going to use this as a public venue. But right, I just feel like by having a page on Facebook, I'm encouraging others to participate, maybe others who are not as sophisticated, like my family and friends. So I said, I'm not going to be there. I'm not going to play in that space. I don't trust. You know what? Fundamentally, I don't trust them. That's all.
Right. Well, and why should you? I mean,
look at him. Would you trust this guy?
No, look, he's look probably, when he was speaking, was just plotting something to do.
He looks like Nathan Thurm, the Martin Short's character, lawyer character on Saturday Night Live was. Yeah, I knew that. Anything.
Yeah, I'm not being defensive.
I'm not being defensive.
Why are you being defensive?
And what's with the sweatshirt, okay? What's with the sweatshirt?
Poor kid.
I know. I'm just piling on.
Oh, the poor billionaire.
Yeah, he's got the money. He can afford it. I'm just piling on.
Going back to what Josh was saying before, I mean, Mark is just 26. He's inexperienced as a spokesperson and as a CEO.
Right.
Where he's being thrust into this on stage. He's awful on stage. If you see any of those F8 conferences,
it's not the first time this has happened.
No, he's not charismatic. He's not a great onstage speaker. And to put him in front of Walt Mossberg and Kara Swisher is like throwing meat into the shark's den.
Do they feel like they piled on him?
They actually weren't that bad.
They seemed fair, but they're seasoned veterans.
They're no Sarah Lacey.
He was preceded on stage by Steve Ballmer and Jobs. Yeah. Like, these guys have been at it for a very long time, and they know what to expect.
Yeah. I think that I agree with Mark.
We're not going to pick on him anymore.
No, I mean, you know, but you asked about the sweatshirt, the Illuminati thing.
Yeah.
It's a little weird. It's a little odd.
And that goes back to the point I made earlier. This guy is just enamored with the cult-like little clubhouse that he's built. I mean, he thinks more fondly of that than of his customers. That really bothers me.
Yeah. Here's Mark.
You know, there were real learning points and turning points along the way in terms of building things. You know, it really went from this position very early on where we were just in this college dorm room to we moved out to California. It was a few friends and me. And, you know, it just kind of had this project feel for a while. And there was this real turning point when companies were trying to buy them.
I've seen this before.
A huge amount of money. And, you know, I had to kind of get
when you work in TV, you see this happen all the time. Somebody comes on and you're interviewing them. And their brain just isn't working. They're so scared. They're so nervous that their brain's not working. And what comes out is mincemeat. And I've seen this before. And I'm actually very sick.
He should have had a drink.
He should have been drunk. He would have been much better.
Seriously, a little glass of vodka goes a long way before you go out.
I mean, great speaking advice.
All it is.
Build products that help people stay connected.
Yeah, I mean, he's just pulling cliche after cliche out of his hat. Going back to the startup. Oh, we were just two kids in a dorm room. Just myself in a dorm room.
If I knew, he wanted to harp on how small of a company they actually are, you know, and I think that he did try to sort of paint this picture. We're the small company, you know, we're just figuring stuff out, you know, but it's, you know, you have a lot of users. How many Facebook users are there? 400 million or something?
Almost half a billion now.
So that's, you know, you've got more people than...
Here's this...
Whoa.
Kara makes him take it off.
All right.
Yeah, you should rewind that a little bit. Well, you don't have to. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
Can you explain what this instant...
He's kind of surprised by how much he's sweating.
Let me rewind it if I can grasp the arrow here.
Says whoa, and it's weird.
I thought that was a fascinating answer.
That's okay. You want to take off the hoodie?
No, I never take off the hoodie.
I know you don't. What's with that? There's a group of women in the audience that wish you would.
No.
Girls?
Whoa.
He's the whoa is because he can't believe how sweaty he is.
I mean, look how scared he gets. I mean, it's like, I feel bad for him. I mean, he's seriously having a panic attack.
Yeah, I've seen it before. It's exactly what's going on.
But, you know, then maybe he shouldn't go and have interviews with Walt and Kara at D.
Well, he won't do it again.
Or he might try again.
Do you think there's anybody at Facebook? And look, Kara's so motherly. She actually starts to help him take it off. Do you think there's anybody at Facebook that can tell Mark Zuckerberg not to go to D8 or D9?
What are we going to do with the mic?
Put it on your...
put it on the collar of your teeth.
Yeah, I mean...
This is like two parents with a teenager helping him take off his hoodie. I mean, there's this real weird...
We're not even yelling at you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe Randy should tell him. His sister needs to give
Randy
him sisterly advice.
There you go.
Yeah.
No, I mean, how does it feel today? That's the thing. I mean, so he had this bad experience. I mean, this is what kind of sucks, right? Most of us have a bad, you know, conversation with somebody or we say something stupid And this is kind of how I feel about the book and all the stuff.
Wait a minute. That Illuminati thing is not on the outside. It's on the inside?
That's on the inside.
Oh, yeah. That is creepy. Wait a minute. You can't even see it unless they take it off?
They recreated it on SF Weekly. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
You should look at it.
And it has to do with open social and what the open social...
It's the mission. It says 2010 in the middle. It's like the mission statement for 2010. It's platform and...
Creepy.
It is. And it does seem like, you know, maybe they had a designer. And he was like, hey, check this out. It's kind of funny or it's cool. And they were, you know, maybe they said, oh, we should get it in our hoodies or something. I don't know. Like, it was a very nonchalant. They didn't make a big deal of it. And then all of a sudden now it's a huge topic of discussion.
Well, not everybody knows it's not that...
Or it is a conspiracy, and they're very evil.
And I think I read somewhere where one of the hoodies popped up on eBay.
Yes, $300.
Some have been saying they gave hoodies out to every employee.
I'd buy this for. I didn't realize it was on the inside though. I thought this is on the outside, like a biker. This is hidden.
It does really look like a weird kind of religious symbol, or you know, like the Eye of Horus or something.
No wonder they can't articulate their mission. That's their mission. Well, look at it. For those of you not on video, there's an SF Weekly blog post you can go look and see. It's got three arrows with graph, stream, and platform, open and connected, making the world open and connected, Facebook plus one, and then two arrows that don't have anything, and oy, oy, oy.
Behold a pale Facebook. I don't know. There's a joke there. I don't know.
There's a joke. Exactly.
Right. I mean, it definitely is unusual, to say the least. But I am thinking about doing something like that for Engadget.
I think we all should. I want a Twitter hoodie with a secret logo inside where only you can see it. A couple of quick lightning round moments. Mark Millian, you did a story in the blog about Twitter's fake BP spokesman.
Oh, man, have you seen this?
Tell me about it.
Twitter.com/BP Global PR. It's awesome. I caught it fairly early on and reached out to him and did everything I could to make contact. He still won't tell me what his name is, and he does.
He's just some guy, right?
Yeah, he's finally now talking to me like a normal person. But starting out, first interview I got, he did it in character, and it was hilarious.
131,000 followers in just a
hilarious.
Few weeks.
Yeah,
it's a couple weeks. Hilarious.
Yeah,
it's really good.
His latest tweet: "We take this situation very seriously, which is why tonight's oil wrestling event will be followed by a candlelight vigil." Jeez, I love it. This is really funny.
Real zingers in there. Unfortunately, you know, I mean, it's sucks because they're not really.
It's
real.
A little too true. Safety is our primary concern. Well, profits, then safety. Oh, no, profits, image, then safety. But still, it's right up there.
He sent me this sort of like manifesto where he's saying I'm like a dude in my underwear doing this. Yeah. And sometimes it's easy just to get mad or keep it to yourself, but here is like a way to laugh at it instead of getting mad, and it's reaching a lot of people.
And also probably a lot of people think this is BP. Right? There have to be people who see this and go, this is BP.
And I guess Twitter says they'll take it down if there's confusion, but I don't know. Maybe nobody's complaining.
That would be really annoying.
I asked them to take down. There was a fake Leo Laporte who was saying things like, you know, I mean, he was saying like sexual stuff, like crazy stuff. I asked them to take it down. They said, no, it's parody. So
they left up your second account?
Yeah.
Your secret account.
My secret account. All my sexual peccadillos.
Fake Leo Laporte.
The fake.
Yeah.
Nudge,
nudge.
He was
saying weird sex, real very sexy stuff.
Sexy stuff. He's a sexy guy. Computex, anything big from there? 2010, the big Taiwanese fair. I know a lot of slates. Gibson counted 42 or 43, something like that.
A lot of slates that are not good.
We'll never see the light of day.
Well, they might, but they're all doing the same thing. We've seen like bad Android. And then we've seen, you know, Ballmer talked about this at D8. He talked about tablets and Windows on a tablet and what they're going to be like. And so we saw some Windows 7 tablets. And Windows, it's called like Embedded Compact 7, which is basically CE7, which they're saying to people, okay, this isn't Windows. Make a different kind of skin for it. Build your own tablet OS on top of it. Won't be compatible with Windows 7. But then you have Ballmer saying, well, Windows 7 is going to be the platform. And then you have Windows Phone 7, which is not the same thing. And then, then you have... somebody built on Windows Compact Embedded, whatever it's called, they built an a UI, a couple guys from Microsoft that looks like Windows Phone 7, but it's not. It was just for demonstration purposes to show people what they could do with this platform. So that really confused strategy on tablets from Microsoft. And
well,
then everybody else was like, here's Android on a tablet, but it sucks.
The guy at Microsoft, Jay Allard, who shepherded Xbox and then Zune, left. He says, you know, to have a life. Some say because Courier didn't happen. You think that's credible?
Certainly possible. I mean, Courier was real. It was
real. That wasn't. See, I always thought, oh, this is just a concept video. They never were
doing
it.
The concept video was a concept.
Obviously, it wasn't real.
The idea for the product was real. It was being worked on in Microsoft. I've talked to very good sources that say it was real. It was in a lab somewhere being incubated.
It was a two-page tablet. It was very cool. Had some neat ideas in terms of UI and.
Really great at UI ideas. I think what happened is one of two things happened, I think. They couldn't get it there, right? They couldn't get it to where it needed to be after a lot of trying. And they said, well, we got to can this thing. Or they just didn't want to have yet another platform to support. Because inevitably, if you do this crazy new UI, you have a new platform to support. And maybe they didn't feel the market was big enough.
Right.
But I mean, the crazy thing about tablets is Microsoft was there. They were in the market. They were
there. They thought it was the next big thing.
Right. Well, so Ballmer talked about how with the phone, with the iPhone and phones, they missed a cycle and now they're playing catch up.
Right.
So they've done exactly the same thing with tablets. They missed a cycle. If the Courier isn't happening or something like the Courier soon, and as far as we could tell, based on what we saw at Computex, it's not, because what they have at Computex was like Frankenstein stuff.
Right.
So if it's not happening soon, then they're missing the cycle. Apple's already sold 2 million. Now they're now defining this new market of tablets. You know, most people didn't know what a tablet was before the iPad, and now almost everybody knows, and a lot of people are buying them. So they'll sell another, you know, 5 million, 6 million, 10 million before Microsoft even gets in the game.
Oh, boy.
So they did it again. They missed a cycle.
Yep.
And it's a huge setback for them. And it's weird because they've wanted to do this for so long.
They invented it. Bill Gates has been pushing it for 10 years.
They have a different vision, though.
I wonder if they hesitated about the pen input, which is a big part of
the love the stylus. They love
Bill Gates loves the stylus,
and
he's
so wrong. And he's so wrong.
I don't know, because the Curry had the option, right? You could use your fingers, or you could switch to a pen, and
and Windows 7 has touch. So Windows 7 can do, and it's multi-touch.
I mean, it's the pen input is, I think it's a good idea. Yes, include pen input, make it great. Do touch as well, make that great. And you've done something that Apple hasn't done. You have a opportunity.
As much as Bill likes the stylus, Steve hates it. Does not like the stylus.
Well, if you see a stylus, you blew it. We all know that.
Yep.
Although I use the stylus on the iPad quite a bit.
Do you use that? You use that Pogo?
Yep.
I bought one, and you know, I have it. I found I don't use it that much.
It's kind of not that good.
No, because it's got a little puff on the end of it. It's not
to press. And you have to press really hard. Do you find that, Julio?
Well, I'm horrible neatnik, and I have my moments where the smudginess on my iPad screen, I'm just about to lose it, and I switch. Yeah. I just for sanity's sake, I switched to the Pogo. Yeah.
Julio is actually oleophobic. He's the oleophobe.
That's right.
Yeah, that is kind of gross. You have to carry it. By the way, oh look, the hoodie is now $1,025 on eBay.
Wow.
And 15% goes to the EFF.
Wow.
It's pretty cool. Pretty cool, that lining. It's kind of neat.
Well, my main tablet question, and I'm wondering what you guys think, is everybody just is the main thing happening here? Is everybody just scrambling and retrenching because of the iPad? Lenovo, Slate.
Yeah, remember that UX1 that they showed at CES, the Lenovo UX, which is cool, but gone.
And you know what?
The answer is
what HP said about the Palm purchase. The CEO says it's not about getting into the smartphone market. He didn't go beyond that, but
they keep going back and forth. They can't decide.
They backtrack. Yeah, they
we're killing the slate. We're not killing the slate. WebOS is
first. He said really clearly, right, Mark? He was like, I don't know why people don't get it. We bought Palm for WebOS to put on slates. You know, I think they're just trying to push it. And say, yeah, we're going to do smartphones, but look, we're getting in this game big time, and we have a great OS for it. But yeah, I think, Julio, to what you were saying, people are scrambling now. You know, everybody said, no, it's the same thing with the iPhone. People said, well, Apple's not just going to walk in here. Remember Palm?
Right.
Apple's not going to walk in. And Whoopsies. Just use this thing.
But that is my question. The question to you: how much of the Apple factor is to blame for the courier being killed? Do you have any idea?
Why was the courier killed?
I mean, I think that it must have been. If the courier was a great product, I'm having trouble believing that they got it to be a great product. That's my theory. Okay,
they just couldn't get it to work.
And I think that has a lot to do with the shakeup, the sort of, and not just the courier, but a lot of things. The Kin is a good example. I think Microsoft has somehow gotten mired in a really, I mean, they always have like a problem with direction, but now it seems sort of worse than ever. And they've got, you know, they talk about this great new phone platform. It's going to integrate all of these services like Xbox. And then a few months later, they say, oh, we also have this other new phone platform and it doesn't do all that stuff. It's built on the same thing, but it's not the same thing. And, you know, they're miserable. They're not good phones. And I think that the courier might have been part of that whole can't get a foothold, can't find their bearings, just like directionless stuff. And they need to change. They need to execute. You heard what Ballmer said at D. He said, we learned a lesson about not executing with the iPhone and with what Apple did. They
Apparently
really
executed. Not.
Oh. Maybe now they're getting it. I don't know. But again, they miss a cycle. Yep. So. But I think Apple has a lot to do with – I don't think they react to Apple necessarily, or they do. They're just really, really slow to react. But everybody else reacts, and everybody is reacting.
There's so much more to talk about, but I don't want to keep you guys any longer. Would you like my shirt?
I love this
Isn't
shirt.
Isn't that good?
Did Dig make that for you?
No, I made it. Dig 4 was my idea. You know why? Because it was my idea. But that's a story for another day. Kevin says he will come on when Dig 4 comes out. And he will demo it for us first on Twit, which might That's be great. As soon as next week. I'm not sure exactly when. So I got these. Somebody sent me these T-shirts because I told Kevin this. I said 2 years ago, I told Kevin, I don't care what other people dig. I want to follow people like Mark and Julio and Josh. And those digs, those are the ones I care about, not the dweebs who, you know, look, Super Mario Kart 15 is out. I don't care about that. So that's what I think Dig 4 is going to do, is going to follow.
I like the idea that it actually, you tell it your Facebook account and your Twitter account,
yeah,
and it just
knows
goes
who
in
you
there.
Care about.
Yeah, and it pulls
gets your social
out
graph.
You.
That's what everybody
I don't
does.
Know, that sounds like Buzz, like just all of a sudden.
But Buzz doesn't organize any of it. They just spew it out there like Twitter does. It seemed like their concept was to take all of this data that you're putting out there and kind of put it in a logical, readable stream. But
yeah.
They haven't gone that far.
I love Buzz, and I'm going to hang out in Buzz forever. And
I don't get it. Why?
Because it's better than Twitter.
Well, I've been getting into Buzz a lot lately for a couple of reasons. So it's in TweetDeck, so that makes it a little easier for me. I fired up the secondary Gmail account that I don't use for my primary, but that's where my Buzz is. I fired that up in Mail app, and then the other thing I'm looking forward to is on Postgres or Postgres, there's some debate about the pronunciation. You can within the when you post on it, you can automatically push your content to different places. And Buzz is in one of those right now, but it's going to be really soon. And so those three things are kind of making me revisit Buzz and use it quite a bit lately. So
here's the deal: I would like Buzz a lot. I like a lot of the technology. I would like Buzz a lot more if it were – I don't want my Twitter stuff or my conversations with people to be connected to my email account or any of my personal information. I don't want it to look at my location unless I tell it. I don't want it to do – and I know you can opt out of all that stuff now, but the idea that it's in my inbox is so deeply unattractive to me that it is makes me not want to use the service at all. Now, I would use it if I could go somewhere. It had its own portal. It was separate from all of my stuff. I logged in like I do with Twitter, and I could have conversations in there separate from all of my personal information, separate from my email contacts, unless I wanted it. It just feels way too connected to to my other stuff, to my personal stuff. Which
and
is
I agree with you 100%. That's why I have my Google Apps domain customized email, and that is my primary email. And then this other Gmail account, generic Gmail, it's my Google Reader and my Buzz, and that's it.
Hmm. Right, well, I have the same thing, but it's then I have to go back and forth between. I have to be in that inbox at some point, which just seems crazy to me. Why not make Buzz a service like Twitter? I mean, you have the technology. Say, you know, just make it separate.
There is just a setting that says don't put Buzzes in my inbox, and then you set that, and then it's.
And if you're using it in TweetDeck or CSMIC, it is a service.
Yeah, I don't have the same
maybe
issue,
Maybe I'll revisit it.
Here's another tip if you can't stand staring at that Buzz 100 plus below your inbox. that I found last week. You can just drag Buzz down into your labels and it hides it.
Oh, that's just a label. So you just take that and you drag it down here and you put it there and then you don't see it anymore. Except I want it there because I click the Buzz more often than I click the inbox.
So I'm a little slow on the uptake, by the way. I just started using colored labels in Gmail. So.
Oh, my God. Colored labels is
huge. Huge.
Oh, my God. It's like I have so many crazy customized. I mean, when I scan my email now, I don't even look at the label name.
Just color.
Colors. Yeah, it's so helpful.
That's interesting. See, I think one of the reasons maybe you guys don't like Buzz so much is because you love Gmail so much. It's like you don't want to – you put peanut butter in my Gmail.
It's true.
No, I like Buzz because it is in Gmail.
See, okay. I'm the opposite. I like Gmail as this sort of this pure
keep
experience.
It pure. Keep pure it pure.
Email
yeah.
experience. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to run because I don't know why, because I could go on for hours, but people seem to tell me that that's maybe a little too long. But boy, I love having you guys on. Please come back. Mark Millian is with the L.A. Times. You can read him online, and his website is markmillian.com. Follow him on Twitter at Mark, M-I-L-I-A-N.
Awesome.
Thank you for coming up, Mark. Great to see you again.
Always great to be here.
Mr. Julio Ojeda Zapata is at the Pi Press, which I love that. That's a great name for it. The St. Paul Pioneer Press. You can follow him online at yourtechweblog.com. And he's Jojeda.
J-O-J-E-D-A is a Twitter.
On Twitter. Is it Jojeda or Jojeda?
It's first initial last name. So.
J-O-J-E-D-A.
Jota Ojeda.
Jota Ojeda. Nice to see you again.
You pronounce my name amazingly well, by the way.
You know, I should do it like they do it sometimes in San Francisco because they're trying to be very, you know, hip and Latino. They'll roll the R's. I could go, Julio Ojeda Zapata. Would that be better for you? Would you be happier?
Very impressive.
Yeah.
By the way, I belong to a secret tribe called the Twitterricans, which is the Twitter using Puerto Ricans.
That's good.
And shout out to the mayor, Rafi Mediavilla.
The Twitterricans.
I'm also a member of.
Yeah, of course you are. Topolsky, that's a great Puerto Rican name.
Very Puerto Rican name, yes. Yeah.
Josh Topolsky is the editor-in-chief of Engadget, the Gadget blog, as far as I'm concerned, and also hosts the Engadget podcast. Where can we find that Engadget podcast?
Well, it's on iTunes. We put it up on set every week. We also do the Engadget show, which I don't know if you've seen, but it's a monthly live show with guests, luminaries from the tech world.
You do that on Ustream, right?
We do the Engadget show. We stream using Brightcove, and then we also put it up on iTunes. And,
okay.
So we do the podcast and the show, and we have short segments where we go on location places and.
Oh, very cool.
Good time. See, there's one right there. We interviewed
John Rubenstein, BitShifter.
That's the first one.
Yep.
We're just about to do our 10th show, so we do one a month. We have a live event at the Time Center in New York City. We get an audience. And
oh, that's really neat. I like that. So find that at Engadget.com as well.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
Josh, it's really nice to meet you. Thank you so much for coming in and being a part of the show. We really appreciate it.
Glad to be here.
Thanks to all of you for watching. We do Twit, and again, Dig 4. It was my idea. We do Twit every Sunday around 3 o'clock Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern. That's 2200 UTC at live.twit.tv. And then you can subscribe whenever you're in the mood on iTunes or the Zoom. Best thing to do is go to twit.tv/twit. And that'll give you all the information you need about getting the show in video or audio or on YouTube, youtube.com/twit. We will be back tomorrow. For those of you watching live, we're doing a special edition live show. Tom Merritt, Alex Lindsay, Andy Anatko, Don McAllister, and Becky Worley all will be covering WWDC. Andy, and Don will be in the hall blogging live. Andy and Tom will be here in our studio. We begin that at 9:42 a.m. Pacific time. That's 12:42 Eastern at live.twit.tv. So if you're interested in what Steve has to say, there's no video. I wish they would stream video of it. They don't stream video of it, so you just have to watch. Engadget will be live blogging, I'm sure, GDGT, all the other sites, but we kind of aggregate it all into one big mishmash so you can find out what's going on. I thank you for being here. We'll see you next week. Another Twit is in the can.
Doing the Twit. Doing the Twit. All right. Doing the Twit, baby. Doing the Twit. All right. Doing the Twit, baby.